See the difference in authority? See the difference in the understanding that when you know who you are and you know what God has given you, the impact is different in the realm of the spirit when you know what you're talking about, when you know that God's given you the authority to deal with principalities and powers and sickness and disease or whatever other situation going on that you can use that name. I'm going to tell you, when you have the proper respect and you carry the honor of that name, I'm going to tell you stuff going to happen. God's going to move because that name, listen, you can't have faith in that name and something not happen. How can that be? How can that be possible for you to have faith in the name and know nothing happen?
That's right.
When God honors his word, he honors his name, he looking for faith, how he not going to do nothing? How could he stand by, you got faith in that name, and he say, I ain't moving right now? No, he's moving. In fact, he the one nudging you. He nudged you to use the name. Listen, I stepped on CC's foot one time. I know I broke her foot. She couldn't walk. She couldn't put no pressure on it. I was getting ready to take her to the emergency room. I said, I know I broke your foot. She was crying in tremendous pain. And then the Holy Spirit say, you haven't prayed? So I said, Cece, sit back down here in the couch. Let me pray. And I grabbed that foot, and I put this hand under the bottom and this hand over the top. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, put these broken bones back together again. Heal what's been damaged. Let there be no swelling. I asked for it in Jesus' name. And then I felt this in my hands. So when I finished praying, I said, Cece, was you wiggling your toes when I was praying for you? She said, no, I can't move. I couldn't move nothing. I said, well, the Lord just put the bones back together again. I felt them when they rearranged in my hand. I said, get up. You can stand up on that now. I said, go ahead, put some weight down on it. She's got up and she's... She said, oh, it's all right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all right. Wow. All the pain was gone. I said, it ain't going to swell up either.
Listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
was, because she wasn't no Star Trek teenager, no Star Trek struck individual just wanting to see him be a spectator just to see what's going on. She was on a mission. Her mission was to touch the healer and not have the healer touch her. Let me tell you, she didn't ask Jesus permission. She didn't need a conversation with Jesus. She needed a connection with Jesus. she didn't need to talk with Jesus. She needed to touch Jesus. She'd already made up her mind. She didn't say, when I see Jesus and he ministers to me, or when I have a conference with Jesus and he anoint me with oil and lay hands on me, pray in the Holy Ghost, and I shall receive the prayer of the faithful and the fervent. And she ain't say none of that stuff. Her business was with Jesus in her faith realm. So it didn't matter whether she came from the front, but what I got to tell you is there's more room behind. See, when you want to be seen, that's where everybody is and want to be seen. But when you ain't trying to be seen, when that's not the agenda, that's not what you're there for, you're on a mission, she went behind him. Because she really wasn't interested in what he was talking about. Don't get super spiritual here. It's clear she's not interested in what he's saying because she didn't stop to listen. When she saw, that's Jesus. That's him, right? That's him. She came on behind him, got down on her knees, and touched his clothes. So listen to this. Expectancy had welled up in her. Listen to this principle. That she expected favor to follow her faith. Her faith, most holy faith, had been built up so strong in her, she expected what she said, what she decreed to happen. The word decree, one of the definitions for it is a foreknowledge of will. Now, this foreknowledge of will, this woman already knew what was going to happen before it happened. And when she did what she did, she knew it was going to do what it do. Yeah, yeah. So she knew without a doubt that when she touched Jesus, she was going to be made whole. So she gets behind him, does not interrupt. Jesus is in the midst of his sermonic presentation. He's talking to the people, and all of a sudden, something happens, and he feels this virtue leaving out of his body. But at the same time, the virtue is leaving out of his body, it's entering into her body. Verse 29 says, straightway. Straightway. Listen, no delay. Straightway. As the old folk would say, directly. It made its connection. And the fountain of her blood dried up. Jesus felt that immediately because of this woman's expectation that favor would follow her faith. What you don't know is, again, you don't have to keep wishing and praying for favor. Just utilize your faith and watch favor follow your faith. We got it wrong. We try to take our faith and make it follow favor. Somebody been blessed over here. Ooh, I'm going to run over here, try and get some of that. Oh, the favor of God is over there. Is it? It's over there because faith was over there. Ooh, the favor of God is over here. Oh, I'm going to run over here because favor is here. Is it? It's because faith is over here. The moment you get faith right here, then favor going to say, ooh, let me run over there. Because faith, y'all catch that on your way home, is right there. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that
Diligently seek. But this word rewarder is not only rewarder, it's favorer, it's deliverer. Listen, of them that diligently seek him. Listen, God favors them that diligently seek him. She knew favor was coming because her faith pleased God. And Jesus makes a statement that stuns the disciples. Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? The disciples say, really? All these people, listen, thronging thee, grabbing hold of you. We've got to pull them off of you. And you ask, who touched me? Jesus said, y'all don't understand. This wasn't a regular touch. There were at least three things about this touch. One, it was a purposed touch. Somebody who touched me had a purpose that connected with the inner source of my power. So much so that they didn't even need my permission. Listen at that now. Listen. She never once got permission from Jesus to get her healing. The record never said where she asked Jesus, Jesus, can you heal me or let me get my healing from you right now? I can't wait till your sermon is over with. I need a healing now because I've been waiting 12 years and I know it's not your fault, but I can't wait another minute longer. I want my healing right now. Please give it to me, Jesus. She didn't waste her breath talking. Because the Bible says the kingdom suffered violence. And the violent taketh it by force. Keep doing what you're doing, Jesus. That ain't none of my business there. My business is with the faith healing. I know if I touch you, I'm going to get what I want. So I'm purposing to touch you. And when I touch you, what's on the inside of you will come on the inside of me. And it will change me when I touch you. So one, that touch was purpose. But second, that touch was powerful. Because it literally changed her life in one moment. That touch was so powerful that her life, which she knew would be changed, was changed in a moment. Didn't take days, didn't take weeks, didn't take months. It took a moment. That was power. That was power. But not only was there power in that touch and purpose in that touch, but that was a precious touch. It was precious to Jesus because it was precious to the woman. Jesus knew the word precious means valuable, valued. Jesus knew from that touch that she valued that touch of faith so much so that her healing would come because she valued her faith in his healing ability and God would meet her in that moment. And that was precious to her. And that was precious to Jesus. Because the next verse says, he turned around to see her that had done that thing. He was looking for her. But she wasn't no longer on the ground. Yeah. And so she comes and she acknowledges. As a matter of fact, the word says, she tells all the truth. Now after she had what she had, her healing. After she had what she came for, her deliverance. She didn't mind having a conversation. She says, since you really want to know why I touched it, let me tell you. And she tells him all the truth. Not only was there in this text this expectancy, but the last thing I want to tell you about this, and we're going to shout and go on home, is she had entitlement. Entitlement. It started off with her being what? What was she when she came looking for Jesus? It started with her being exhausted of her search, of her spending, and of her situation. She heard about Jesus who built up her expectation, and so she began to walk in expectancy each day from that moment until she saw Jesus and literally enacted what she had spoken in faith. And then notice what Jesus says in 34, daughter. The very word daughter suggested that she was an Israelite who was entitled to the benefits of healing, deliverance, and prosperity. Jesus was sent to the lost house of Israel to deliver her goods. Her entitlement meant it was her right or her rights. And it literally meant that legally she had a right to everything she was entitled to. So whether she foreknew that as an Israelite, foreknew that Jesus was the one who would deliver that, or she just decreed in her own self the knowledge that if I touch him, I shall be whole. If that knowledge came from any one of those arenas, it did not matter because they all qualified as foreknowledge of will. So he says, listen, let me confirm what you've already done. It was yours for the taking. You were entitled to it. And see, that's the problem with believers right now, is we're letting blessings go right by us, thinking that we've got to wait on our blessings, don't know how to discern our moment, don't know that, yes, we can have a definitive moment. Yes, we can have a discerned moment. Yes, we can have a desperate moment. Yes, we can have a disguised moment. But oh, we can have a decreed moment where we're tired of waiting on the situation to change, and we can speak it into existence because we know of beforehand what we want to happen. So when he said daughter, it meant she qualified for the blessing. But not only does that say that about her, but secondly, she did her part. For he says, daughter, your faith. Your. That's really what I want to deal with. Your. Because she did what she had to do. How many of you know that faith need feet? In other words, faith has to have a corresponding action. See, faith without works is dead. You've got to have something to go along with your faith if the faith is going to be activated. You've got what you need, but you have got to activate it. And that deed, that doing, that movement is what activates the faith. And she did her part. She did her part. And then look at what is said next.
Your faith had made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She demonstrated faith. So much so that she didn't have to worry about remission or relapse. Her faith was so strong, Jesus said, I want you to have peace about this. That ain't coming back no more. Lord, somebody ought to be shouting if you got what I was saying. That will not return ever again. Go in peace. And I'm going to share three pearls of this principle and then I'm going home. The first pearl I want to share about what I've shared with you today is that you have to, you see, first thing that I think most of us miss in all of this is you've got to play your part. You've got to play your part. See, our problem is we always want somebody else to do it for us. We want somebody else to pray for us. We want somebody else to say it for us. We want somebody else to do whatever it is. We've got to do our part. You have got to decree your own moment and not your moment decree you. This woman, of all of these other moments, decreed her moment. The moment I touch him, I shall be whole.
That's right.
Not I shall be made whole, because made is another process. I shall be whole. When I touch him, I'm going to get the direct corresponding power that's going to heal me. Straightway, the fountain of her blood dried up. That was her confession. You have got to be able to decree your moment. You see, the problem with too many of us is we got that anyway you bless me, Lord mentality, but we don't mean it in our hearts. We really know what we want from God, but it sounds holier than saying what we want. That ain't holy, that's silly. God has given you the opportunity to say what you want. You anyway you bless me, Lord. So, you know, I thank God I'm not the Lord. You know you need a car. You know what kind of car you want. I mean, let's just be reasonable. I mean, if God's going to bless you, he keeps all things in balance. You got a $35,000, $40,000 job. God ain't going to give you no $100,000 car. Because he know you can't maintain it when it get broke. So the best thing he needs to do is give you one that is good and one that is within your price range to fix and be able to put gas in it and fill it up, not just put $10 in and roll to y'all ain't trying to hear me today. So he's going to bring back. So if you say, Lord, anyway, you bless me, then he'll give you a little something, something that gets you around and it's nice. It's dependable. It gets roomy. But then you're going to look at it like, this all? Where you said, anyway, I bless you, is all right with you. Why did you lie? When you should have said, Lord, I'd like that beaver. The baby one, of course. But if that's too much right now on my income, I know it's not too much for you, but if you think that's too much for what I'm dealing with, then bless me with the next best thing. Be honest with him. Tell him what you want. But we have that mentality. If the Lord never do another thing for me, he done enough. Really? Really? Okay, here's what Jesus said. Give us this day our daily bread and you live till tomorrow. By the Lord, I wouldn't give you another piece of bread. I'd be like, you told me I ain't have to give you nothing else. I ain't got to do another thing for you. I've done enough. See, this sounds good, but it ain't true. God knows our hearts. He knows he's just talking smack to him. We know. God knows that. So we've got to realize not only must we decree our moment,
And not let our moment decree us. But two, we have got to decide, determine the end before the opportunity comes. Amen. Listen to this. You have got to determine what you want. In other words, you determine the outcome before the opportunity. Listen to this now. If you determine what you want before the opportunity come, then you won't be like the man at the pool of Bethesda. When the opportunity came, he didn't know what to ask for. Because he didn't plan on his situation turning around except by him getting in the water. So something you ought to take some time out is think about when God gives you an opportunity, what you're going to do when the opportunity comes. And then the third pearl that I want to share with you is take responsibility for your actions. Because this woman took responsibility for her actions, when Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" she could have not said a word. But she owned up to her actions. And along with her healing came the peace that she never had that sickness ever again. And that peace was enough peace in her heart for her to leave there rejoicing and praising God, knowing that what she had dealt with for 12 long years would never ever bother her another day in her life. You see, God wants you to take responsibility for your part. He wants you to take responsibility. There are just some things God wants you to do. You got to activate your faith. And if you know how to operate in these principles, you don't always have to wait on God. There are just some things you can go get from God if you operate in faith. To God be the glory. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, a decreed moment of change. We say all the time, "I'm waiting on the Lord." Is it because you don't have faith? Is it because you're fearful? Or is it because you're being funny? Phony? Because when your faith lines up, then you should be able to walk in step by step. It took that woman some time to build her faith up. From the time she heard of Jesus to the time she got to Jesus, she had finally built her faith up strong enough to take from Jesus what she wanted from him. What a word today. What a word for someone who's been going through a struggle long enough and you're sick and tired of going through that struggle. You don't have to continue struggling. You can put your faith to work for you and receive from God what God wants for you. But you've got to activate your faith. Is there one today? This is your time. This is your time. Glory to God. Someone who's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Someone who's tired of their situation remaining the same. Someone who knows they're entitled to the blessing that they're waiting on. Listen, you can't claim what's not yours. It's only what's yours. Yours. That God gives us the knowledge to know we can receive
when our faith reaches that level.